Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Cold River Mountain Watch. Cold River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Cold River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Oh, mercy me, it's good to be back behind the microphone. I hated missing last night, but I wasn't anybody who could be staying in any one place for very long. That was a stretch. It just wasn't. Ran over to the horse pistol earlier today. Had me an upper GI study with a small gut follow-through. Saw a picture of my innards, in other words. And guess what? I am next year's model, baby. That's right. Everybody else has everything tucked away, mixed up with each other. No, not me. Mother Evolution is creating the proto-human in me. Trying out a variation on a theme, if you will. It was absolutely fascinating. My entire small intestine is over to the right. As I'm looking down at me, okay, not as you're looking at me. My right, not yours. My small intestine is over to the right, and my large intestine just goes all over the place. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. But nothing there to create any cause for alarm. We shall be meeting with the surgeon sometime soon to talk about what it all means. So that's where that is. But I got to admit a certain amount of technological fascination, if you will, because it was absolutely fascinating to sit and watch all that happen on a monitor before my very eyes. Of course, you know me, techno geek that I am. I'm looking up going, hey, all this highfalutin, expensive, power-guzzling equipment here, why aren't they using LCD screens instead of CRTs for this yet? You know, because the monitor itself is this humongous CRT. And, you know, just curious. Doc looks at me and says, I do not know. I do not know. We should find that out. So, you know, I'm not going to pull a Rush Limbaugh on you. I'm not going to sit here and hem and haw and tell you that I'm going deaf for some reason that we don't fully understand, when in fact I've been abusing narcotics hard enough to drive me deaf. No. I'm just going to tell you how it is. This is a birth defect. And birth defects are interesting, because whether they are obvious or non-obvious, they represent the attempt of nature to see if improvements can be had upon the human condition. In fact, it shows how sort of benighted that we are that we call them things like birth defects. One never knows. I'm sure that, well, of course, the fundies wouldn't agree with me or anything, but I'm sure that somewhere millions and millions and millions of years ago, there was a human born hairless, more or less, with opposable thumbs. And that was a birth defect. It's worth at least contemplating and thinking about a little bit. And this is exactly the day for contemplating and thinking about such a thing. Brothers and sisters, come on down the blood red carpet, lay your hands on the subwoofers, and get healed in the rays of common sense. Choir master, fire it up!
Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree.
Sing it!
I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Well, I would, usually do the shtick with the imitation preacher and the and all of that stuff about now. But I'm not exactly feeling quite up to doing that, if you get me. Because what they're singing about in that song is true on so many levels. And, well, let's work both ends of the continuum right off the bat, if you don't mind. Let's start with something that seems harmless. Now, this is the audio from a video, and there might be some video references in it, so my apologies. But this is a video put up by a Christian, a follower of Christ Jesus. And let's see what he wants, okay? This was put up and then removed from the Focus on the Family website. Yeah, that's right. The Family Values crowd was behind this. So give a listen.
I'm Stuart Shepherd. This is Stoplight. Would it be wrong to ask people to pray? Would it be wrong if we ask people to pray for rain? Okay, not just rain, abundant rain, torrential rain, urban and small stream flood advisory rain. Would it be wrong if we prayed for rain on, say, a particular night at, say, a particular location? No, say the evening of August 28th, right here at Mile High Stadium in Denver. During the primetime TV hour, when a certain presumptive nominee is set to give a certain acceptance speech at a certain Democratic National Convention. I'm talking umbrella ain't gonna help you rain. Not flood people out of their houses rain, just good old swamp the intersections rain. We're not asking for hail the size of canned hams or lightning bolts to set the bunting on fire. Just rain. Beautiful rain. Network cameras can't see the podium rain. Attendees can't walk back to the indoor arena without wishing for hip waiters rain. I know, you might ask, why would I pray for that? Well, I'm still pro-life. And I'm still in favor of marriage being only between one man and one woman. And I'd like the next president, who will select justices for the U.S. Supreme Court, to agree. So I'm praying for unexpected, unanticipated, unforecasted rain that starts 2 minutes before the speech is set to begin. Would it be wrong to pray for rain? I don't have any special insights or special connections. I'm just an ordinary guy who's looking for people, lots of people, who feel like I do, to pray for rain. Now, I know there'll probably be people who'll pray for 72 degrees and clear skies, but this isn't a contest. But if God decides, and it's always up to God to decide, if God decides that rain of biblical proportions would be a good and proper meteorological condition for that evening, we'll see it, and we'll say that it is good. And if he decides it's not really necessary, I'm okay with that. I'll still trust in his wisdom, and I'll rest peacefully knowing that lots of us offered up a humble prayer request. Would it be so wrong if we asked people to pray for rain?
Well, there's your high-quality follower of Christ, love, mercy, and compassion on display. Rain of biblical proportions, this freak is calling for. You know, when rain comes and when anything happens and it is followed by the descriptive phrase of biblical proportions, that usually means that a lot of people get killed. Rain of biblical proportions. That's what this guy's praying for. He wants it to fall on Barack Obama, or as he refers to him as, a certain presumptive presidential nominee. This guy has connections to the Focus on the Family. You know why it got pulled off their website, friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, kiddies and cousins? It got pulled off their website not because this was so incredibly offensive. It got pulled off their website because the dirty, rotten scoundrels might have lost their 501c3 tax-exempt designation over it. No, really. These people don't give a damn about people's souls or spirits or... No. They care about the money, baby. They care about the money. Would it be so bad? This guy sounds like a low-rent Glenn Beck. Would it be so bad? Would it be so bad to pray for rain of biblical proportions? Would it be so bad? Monsters. Monsters. You know, rain of that size and impact, what could we expect to happen? What indeed? You know, rain like that, emergency services vehicles couldn't get through. In a rain like that, a fire truck might not be able to get to a burning home. In a rain like that, the police might not be able to get to the scene of, say, some right-wing madman going wild with a gun. That's what couldn't happen in that kind of rain. In a rain like that, paramedics might not be able to reach a pregnant mother on the verge of going into a breech birth. That's what might happen in a rain like that. And Fundy's seeing rain like that. Fundy's praying for rain like that. Fundy's yearning for something like that. Also opens a window into the darker, sicker corner of the Fundy psyche. The corner of the Fundy psyche that lets a 40-something white male march into the offices of a state Democratic Party organization, demand to see the chairman, be denied, and stomp on past, blow through his door, pull out a handgun, always a handgun, and blow away a state party chairman. And wreck a family for life. Because that's what happened today. That's what happened today in Arkansas. A man, at least thus far unnamed, went into the offices of the Arkansas Democratic Party and blew away its chairman. The chairman's name was Guatney. Bill Guatney. He was shot at least 3 times in the chest. He was murdered. He was the owner of 2 or 3 local area car dealerships. And there is no confirming evidence thus far that it was another political hate killing such as we had on July the 27th in Knoxville, Tennessee, but there is evidence pointing toward that fact. Because buried down in the story is that the fact that after the shooting, he went running into the offices of the Arkansas Baptist Convention office building a few blocks east of the Democratic HQ, complaining about having lost his job. And waved the gun around, but did not shoot. And he jumped in a blue Dodge Dakota pickup truck and took off. Like most murderous right-wingers, he was trying to get away with what he did. The authorities, the law enforcement authorities, chased this man down and blew him away. And I want to share something with you from one of the stories. This is from the Arkansas Times blog. Let's see, from one of them you get the 23rd Psalm. One of them says, it is a stark reminder that the players on this stage are human. We are contenders in the arena of ideas, but we are not enemies. Enemies are those from without or within who would rob us of property, freedom, or life itself. Guess what? That makes the right-wing shooter an enemy. Bill is a Democrat, to be sure. You know, that's a little bit like, well, you know, some of my best friends are black. But he is much more an American, an Arkansan, a man, one with a family and a soul deserving of our prayers and kindness. Okay, we understand, Wingnut. He's more of a man than a Democrat. What does that make Democrats? Just asking. Now, what makes me think we're dealing with a Fundy here? He didn't run into the next building and start screaming about losing his job. He went blocks. And then he went into a building that was homey for him, a place that he thought would be welcoming. He went into the building of the Arkansas Baptist Convention. What is the Arkansas Baptist Convention, brothers and sisters? Why, the Arkansas Baptist Convention is the former home of former Arkansas Baptist Convention President Mike Huckabee. This is what happens when hate is spewed over the airwaves. We've been down this road before. This is what happens when hate is spewed over the airwaves, printed in books, and when people are encouraged and incited and goaded and poked into, Democrats aren't even Christian. Democrats are barely human. Well, hell, if they're, hey, look, you know, we talked about a liberal hunting permit. The final post on this blog I find interesting. Because a lot of people are, as I suppose one would say of me, leaping to the conclusion that this is politically motivated. It is hard to avoid. At the time I was looking at it, this was the penultimate comment. Hannity and Limbaugh have made popular a brand of political hate that is especially pernicious, but I admit I've also seen that hate growing in the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, and that saddens me greatly. Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. Blam, blam, blam! I don't know the Guatneys, but I followed this story and the posts on this thread, and with a lot of fear for two families that didn't deserve this tragedy, the Guatneys and the family of the shooter, I'm so very sorry for all of them. Liberals, don't you love us? I'm not sorry the issue of hate was brought up in this thread, but I think hating someone's politics and believing they are not right for office does not equal hate. I can only think of three politicians I truly hate, and I don't know if I met them, if I would continue to hate them, or if it is just their politics and their malfeasance. Those three would be Tom DeLay, George Bush, and Dick Cheney. I think all three did great harm to this country, and that harm has threatened and put my family at risk. Without strong feelings, we wouldn't be human. I don't, however, hate McCain, even if I've said that I despise him. It's all about his politics and not him as a person. Well, for me, it's about him as a person, too, because he's an icky person. I mean, John McCain's politics didn't cause him to bail out on his first wife when he saw that she was going to be walking with a limp for the rest of her life and wasn't the hottie that he had married. Oh, it's just not working out, baby. I got to get out of here. And runs off with the beer heiress then and actually marries her before his divorce is final to the first woman. That is not a political issue. That is a loathsome human being issue. Democrat or Republican. It's just easy. I will do my best in the future, says this poster, to address the policies and politics that I despise and learn from this death, regardless if it is politically or not politically motivated. I do hate the handguns. Wish we could put them in one huge bonfire and get rid of that scourge. Well, you hate America if you hate the handguns. Handguns made America. Anybody who hates handguns is anti-American. See, that's the problem here. Hannity and Limbaugh have made popular a brand of political hate that is especially pernicious. But I admit that I have also seen that hate growing in the progressive wing. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You've finally seen progressives and liberals beginning to stand on their hind legs and act like they've got some starch in them and begin to openly criticize the loathsome personalities and the loathsome policies. But there's no hate. There's no hate. We're live-and-let-live types. Hate is what happens when you incite people to take shotguns into churches and go blow away political party chairs. isn't it? Yeah, it kind of is. What a sad, sad story. What a nightmare for the family. And who gave birth to this? If it turns out to be political, and frankly, I have no confidence that we will learn one way or the, well, that we will learn that it was political, because I don't think anybody made the mistake this time through of pointing out early on that the guy brought his hate books with him, like Hannity and O'Reilly and, you know, Limbaugh and Savage and that type. I guess maybe the guy didn't the guy didn't leave a 4-page manifesto. He just shot, and like cowards do, after he shot, he ran. Not like he blew himself up or killed himself. No, right-wing killers don't do that. They don't do that. So we'll take a little break, and here, let me explain things to you. The phones are down. The fine folks at CityNet have been on this for about 6 hours. We've been talking back and forth. The problem is not yet resolved. So we will have to deal with things as best we can. And I'm going to try a sort of an emergency backup plan here for the phones. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to try a different number. If you want to get involved in the program, I got a couple of lines you can come through on, but one number to dial in on. All right, with me so far? This is not for general usage. This is not the new studio number. This is not the off-air number. This just happens to be a number that we hold in abeyance through a separate system that I've brought online here in the last hour or two. And that number is 304-574-7810. 304-574-7810. Okay, 304-574-7810. In the meantime, we'll take a little break. And when we come back, your phone calls. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. 29 minutes before the hour, classic from Blind Melon. Love that song. No rain. No rain indeed. All right, let's see how this little experiment works. Now look, okay? You call, I put you on hold. And let's try and there we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Albert?
We got it working?
Yeah, it's cooking.
Oh, all right.
Now, somebody else may dial in. Now, look, okay, see there? You hear that?
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay. All right. We got both lines lit, and hopefully things will work out nicely now.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful. Actually, it's very clear.
No, this is excellent, yeah.
Yeah, this is an excellent line.
We just don't have a way of making six of these go.
That's a shame, because it's a beautiful line. I don't think there was ever any doubt. There wasn't any doubt, was there?
In which regard? That there would be another one of these, or that there's going to be more of these? Absolutely not.
I think that's the sad reality. That's what happens when you get the rat in the corner. You know,
is that what we're seeing here? These people are so flipped out and so freaked.
Yeah. Of course.
All right, stand by a minute, Albert.
Okay.
Hold, please. All right, there we go.
All right. I think that's what we are seeing. I think we're seeing, violence is, it's what the second stage there. So, that's kind of, has this ever happened before? I mean, like this. I mean.
Well, there was Martin and then Bobby. Granted, this is but you know what? They're all human lives.
True, and that's.
So yeah, it's happened before.
Yeah.
When the right wingers start getting a little nervous, they go and run for their penis extensions. Their guns. And it's hard to avoid noting that this is always a white, middle-aged male. Because it is.
I don't know why I said has it happened before, but I was actually meaning like on a personal level. I mean, figureheads have always been shot, but now it's like getting to a, average Joe kind of,
Well, that's because look at what the guy in Knoxville said. I can't kill their leaders, so I can kill at least the ones who put them in office.
Are we going to start seeing like a, as you see, well, that's what they do. They certainly will. They'll idealize these guys and,
Yeah.
It's a sick thing, but I can't imagine, they just really are that perverse.
I think we run a profound risk here. They may have that perversion in their heart, but in some it may take the shape of, won't you join me in praying for torrential rain on top of that heathen baby killer Barack Obama, won't you pray for rain of biblical proportions on the night he gives his speech in the open-air stadium so the cameras can't even see him? But then, when you add into the mix the Limbaughs and the Hannitys and the O'Reillys and the Bortzes and the Becks and the Savages pumping out hour after hour after hour after hour of right-wing filth. And see, that's the thing. That's the other important part. They don't say that, you know, they don't particularize it to individuals all the time. So a lot of the times it's liberals are un-American. Liberals are the enemy. Yeah, look at Michael Savage. Liberalism is a mental disorder. You know, not Nancy Pelosi is crazy. Liberalism. So that means if you're liberal, you're insane and you need to be eliminated from the population.
Well, they are social Darwinists. I mean, you know, they don't believe in Darwin in terms of any other aspect of evolution, but they sure do buy into the social aspect of it. You know, they can care less about, you know, health care for all and this and that. I mean, I had a guy try to tell me that. I mean, now he says these things in a heartless way, and I don't know if he was potential of it, but before he went to Kuwait to go drive sergeants and officers around, he was saying, women and children, man, and women and children. And everyone in my circle was just like, oh, this guy's the creepiest little bastard to ever walk his face. He's like our pet, you know, like a pet gremlin kind of thing. And, you know, just like all gremlins grow out of proportions, and that's what kind of guy he is. He comes back and he'll start talking about, oh, health care is affordable, and if they can't afford it, then they die, and that's, you know, survival of the fittest. I mean, that's a direct quote of the kinds of
I've heard it. No. You don't have to convince me. I've heard it.
Yeah.
I've heard that, you know. I've heard people say, you know, well, you know, we don't need Social Security. That's what the family's for. The family needs to take care of their old people. And that's well, you know, that's well and good if it's the 13th century, but it ain't.
Exactly. I mean, this is a world that, you know, even people like my mother and stuff like that. I mean, she wasn't listening to me when I was telling her. I'm like, wow, this is harder to kind of, to get somewhere, to get ahead in this age. And, you know, she's like, oh, it was hard in my day, too. I'm like, yeah, but there's this many more people now. It's not the kind of world that we lived in. However, I do think it's the same. It's the correct size in order to do what the whole purpose of civilization is to do anyway, and that's to ensure everybody's collective welfare. I'm not trying to say by state, you know what I'm saying, but at the same time, that's why we come together to form cities and villages and this and that, because together everybody achieves more. Now, I don't know what these free, it just must be the hatred. I mean, it just must be the hatred and, you know, an oversized, overused, you know, hypothalamus or something, because when was the last time? Here's one. When does a liberal go do these things?
Here's the short answer. We don't.
No, I mean, even the most liberal of leftists in the whole world, ALF and all those Animal Liberation Front, the Earth Liberation Front, these things that, you know, that they're declared a terrorist organization by the FBI. Okay, on the right, on the left.
Okay, the elf people go and put spikes in trees. Okay. The elf people set fire to abandoned empty vehicles and maybe, just maybe, burn down the occasional really stupid, un-eco-friendly, greed-driven subdivision in progress. Okay?
Yeah.
I am not endorsing that in any way.
No. But that's...
But they usually go out of the way to make sure there's nobody there who can get hurt.
Exactly. You don't see them going into mega churches. You don't see them doing these things. You know, the only one, I mean, and you don't sit there see them praying for rain so nobody can hear the screams of the little godless liberals as, you know, as we have the Night of Daggers Part 2. You know, I mean, and that's the scary thing about these people to me. I mean, hell, you listen what they want. They want to go into Georgia. You know they want to go into Georgia. The peaches are in danger. Everybody likes peaches, right? The peaches are in danger, Bob.
Somebody's got to stop that. Stop that, General Vasily Shermanovich, before he gets to Savannah.
Yeah, I think that's the mentality of the folks that would go and. I'd like to see the chairman. No, he's not there. Ah, boom, boom, boom. What the hell is that? What did that guy do? And then, of course, he goes and doesn't he shoot himself like a little coward? Can't give them answers because, you know, and then they might know what's going on. He ran to where? The Baptist American Famery, or however you say
it. The Arkansas Baptist Convention, former home of the leadership of Governor Mike Huckabee. Yeah, no kidding. I saw that. See, that's the thing. I saw that, Albert, and my blood ran cold. Because it's like 6 blocks from where he did the shooting. He went 6 blocks and poked his head in at the Arkansas Baptist Convention.
Hide me, hide me.
We don't know. I mean, certainly apparently those Baptists weren't quite as brave as the Unitarians were, though, because a guy waving a gun ran in on them and they didn't tackle him and strap him down. No, the Baptist said, well, we'll pray for you, brother. Why don't you go lead the cops on a high-speed chase?
Yeah, so we can watch it on the television. Man, I'll tell you what, bud. It don't matter. We're going to win. We won. If this is where they're getting to, and this is, you know, let's say they even...
Well, okay, but let me... you see it as evidence of... having prevailed, and you know what? There's a strong argument for that, Albert. There's a strong argument for that. On the other hand, at some point, do we not? I don't know. Is this one of those where we just cede the issue to the right wingers and say, okay, you're right, you've proven it. The world is not safe with right wingers running around armed and us not. Is it time to gun up the liberals? You know, the idea... But see, I know that there...
Skywalker walked around with a blaster. I mean, in a sense, with a bully, okay? It's like just like as knowing your rights when dealing with a cop, okay, being armed in the eyes of a bully makes you less of an easy target. They're bullies. But they're bullies. All of these guys.
Well, sure they are.
Bullies. I want to see them go do an Arnold. I mean, they want to die, right? And they want to kill people. Now, I'm not advocating this. So just
Say, I think you're right on the second part. Wrong on the first. They want to kill people. They don't want to die.
Well, fuck.
You know, the cops had to chase this guy down to kill him. If he'd have stood there and dropped his weapon or whatever, he wouldn't have been killed. He did not want to die.
Well, I just mean all these shooting freaks. I mean all these guys. You know, once you get to that level, I mean, you got to know that there's going to be, you know, either death or prison, and which may be worse than death.
And see, the gun thing really is an issue that separates a lot of otherwise, a lot of liberals and progressives and, you know, decent people, Democrats, who have everything else in common. Because I asked, is it time for the liberals to gun up? And it was not rhetorical. My answer to that is no. Because you cannot gun up against these kind of people who act with seemingly, I mean, you don't know where a right winger is going to go off next. You don't know if he's going to go off with a gun or an envelope full of anthrax. Okay? You don't know if he's going to hijack a plane or, like the Tim McVeigh, blow up an entire building. You can't. It is damn near impossible to defend against that kind of thing. What we can do is when they do pull it, Stop them before they can hurt any more than, or stop them before they can hurt anyone in the first place. Maybe that's the training we need. How to deal with an armed person when you're unarmed. Now see, rural country liberals tend to have firearms. I'm one of them. Because, you know what? I saw the excellent efforts of our emergency response people a little over a year ago when there was a bad motorcycle wreck down at the foot of our road. It took the ambulance, Albert. It took the ambulance 45 minutes to get to a man whose brains were coming out on the pavement. All right? It's pretty much the same thing for law enforcement in rural America.
Yep.
Can't get there. So if you do have something wacky go on, you want to be able to respond to it. You want to have some basic medical training, and you want to have some basic firearms training.
I mean, that's the very least you need when the zombie hordes hit.
And so everybody gets a little sideways when rural liberals start talking about, well, you know, I won't be able to keep my guns. Now, I personally think that instance where the bad guy comes blowing through your door and, you know, whatever, and you stop him because you're a brave, you know, and you've got your pistol, I think that's really, and it's pretty it much is statistically rare.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, you know, I guess.
But we can't gun up against these freaks. And if we start shooting back, they've won. Because they got more guns than us by a long shot.
Yeah.
From a firearm standpoint, you know, we're the South and they're the North. They got us way outgunned. I mean, there's right-wingers out there with grenade launchers and rocket launchers and...
howitzers.
Yeah, right.
They do.
Yeah, just out in the garage polishing up the old 40-millimeter... What? You know, or... Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I think I do know what you're talking about, and I think, I mean, and that's why I say they lost, because, you know, look at what they're doing. And, you know, I like to be able to say that with a certain confidence, but if you look at how long it's taken so many people to wake up from what we're doing in all these other countries, and, I mean, Iraq and this and Philippines, and, you know, we're everywhere, and we're doing these things, and, you know, bombing cities. It's the same thing Russia's doing. That makes me laugh, the hypocrisy on that one. But, you know, we're doing this, and there is this certain disconnect, and I don't know. You know, I don't want to see, you know, I don't want to see another civil war. That's ridiculous. I mean, I don't want to sit there and, you know, God, because one based around ideologies like that, that's just, what the hell kind of future is that? What kind of progress is that? But at the same time, we really can't, I don't know. I mean, we can't sit there, and I guess this is where I say arm up. I'm just trying to say that's such a great ideal, but I don't really see it ever happening because of, you know, so many people do see it through the eyes of fear. And because that's why they want to have defense, they want to have armed up. Me, I just don't want to be cold my pants down if the zombies ever just happen to rise out of the graves. So mine's more for fun than anything. But, I mean, you sit there and you think about it, you know, Second Amendment's part of the Constitution. We can make some sort of effort to make it a regulated type thing in terms of, you know, not government, but, you know, a little people thing and, you know, local counties and stuff like that, maybe be able to do something like that. You know, kind of like more like how Switzerland sort of does it without the whole national service thing. But at the same time, national service wouldn't be a horrible thing either. You know, especially if you get paid for it. You know, I did my time, and people could, they don't have to go in the military. They can go into the Peace Corps, and they can, you know, teach people how to, you know, fish or how to, you know, plant crops, and so they can feed themselves and make themselves, you know.
Well, you know, it's true. You teach a man to fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I walking by the Christ again? Oh, I'm sorry about
that. No, but yeah, I know. But then I have to remind you, if you give a man a fish, you've fed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you've given him a reason to sit by the river and drink beer for the rest of his life.
Well, that there's much worse than that in life.
But you do. You see what I'm saying. I'm reminded in an email. I'm reminded in an email exchange with our buddy David in Tennessee that you know, they kill, we don't, and it really is that simple.
Yeah.
He says the left learned their lesson in like 1905. The anarchists of the time figured out that throwing black powder bombs made no headway, so we quit. We quit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, not killing since 1907, David in Tennessee.
Awesome. Awesome, David.
But we did, yeah. And you could argue that even the so-called radical violent leftists of the late 1960s, of which I think there were about three.
Yeah, three or 12. Yeah.
But Richard Nixon turned into a marching horde headed for your white mama.
Mm-hmm.
Even they learned their lesson. You know, when the other side is willing to blow away a guy who preaches nonviolence, What are they going to do to the ones that are armed and want to fight back? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but there is that.
I mean, Lord, go read Eldridge Cleaver's Soul on Ice. I mean, there's a lot there. And it's not that much of a bizarre recognition either. It is the mark of intelligent people that they can, based upon observable reality, make sane decisions. Look at Gandhi. There was a lot more Indians than there were English.
Yep.
Okay? But if you use if you use the occupier and the invader and the attacker's tactics, you become as evil as what you're fighting.
And there's the Palestinian situation wrapped up in a neat little bow right there, Bob.
Well, yeah, it kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you're right, yeah. You're right, and that's why you're the vessel of consciousness for this segment of people who listen to this stuff. And I'm telling you right now, you're right.
And it takes a hell of a lot more courage to face somebody without a gun in your hand than it does to face one with it. And, you know, I'm reminded that horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner has remarked on a number of occasions that he's been based, you know, in his profession, he's been in situations where there were guns out. And he has yet to get shot. And it's not like he was waving a gun at the other guy. Because that gun waving gets a little crazy a little fast.
Hundredth of a second, that's all it takes.
Yeah, and most shootings take place in the space of less than 3 feet. So there you go, you know.
I tell you what. I mean, but still, I mean, like, this is also just, this is almost like the Georgia issue. Yeah, they're paying us some mind now, but only in order to. And do you hear what they're saying, Bob? They want to attack Russia.
Oh, yeah. What was it? Yesterday? Wait a minute. Let me dig this up, because this is too good for us not to use.
Well, true. And the only reason I said anything regarding it is because, you know, they're not going to cover it.
They're not waiting for it. They're anxious for it. They're yearning for it. They're aching for it. Oh, God, they want them a fresh war, one that's new and shiny and fun, where there's lots of stuff blowing up and sound effects and shock and awe. And, you know, but that's the way it is with right-wingers. Wars are always fun when it's the front end of the war. This is Bill O'Reilly. Hey. This is Bill O'Reilly yesterday afternoon, okay? You're going to love this.
What is Europe going to do? They need the Russian oil. So Putin can do exactly what he wants. That's what he accomplished. I don't expect them to take the country over, because that would lead to real, real violence. There would be, you know, like Iraq.
This has been fake violence so far?
I don't expect it to happen. But the message is sent. Vladimir Putin and Russia can do whatever we want to do. And you can't stop us because we have the oil. Now, it's the same thing with Iran. Who props up Iran? Russia. Why? Because Russia wants the United States weakened. And Russia knows that Iran wants to dominate the oil in the Gulf. So Russia sells Iran weapons, blocks any sanctions against them, and is playing a double game. Putin is a real villain. Now, this is World War III on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the United States consumer rose to the occasion, stopped using 10% of oil.
You know, don't you, Albert, that psychotics become sexually excited with killing, right? I mean, you know that.
I'm not getting excited. I'm trying not.
No. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Bill O'Reilly. He probably couldn't stand up from behind the microphone. Well, I mean, it's Bill O'Reilly. He probably could stand up from the microphone, and nobody would know what was going on. But that guy would. You could hear it. Now, we're going to have a war. Putin's a real villain. Now, this is World War III on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen.
The bomb didn't work. Yeah, the nuclear bomb didn't work. You know, nobody was buying it. All their little bullshit regarding, I mean, they've got to say, this is the time for language, people. This is the time to wake up, because it's going to be, he ain't kidding. This is their new line. This is where they're going to go with it, because this is where they need to go with it, because the Internet's too fast. It's too fast in terms of spreading information out there. They could never get their little Gulf of Tonkins and remember the mains out there in the Gulf to work. They couldn't get any of this done, and so now it's going to be this. Now it's going to be this. It's got to be this, because they don't got anything else in their...
Who do these dumbasses want to... I mean, and it's not just Bill O'Reilly. I mean, it's advisors to the president.
Oh, I think we need to go to war with Iran. I'm sorry, did I say Iran? I meant Russia.
It's not just some pinhead guy who wants to abuse women with the fried Middle Eastern appetizer treats, okay? These are, you know, serious people, and they want a war with Russia. And I just want to know one thing, Albert. Who in the hell do they expect to fight it? I mean, it goes without saying that they're not going to fight it. They never fight them. They're the biggest bunch of chicken shits that have ever drawn breath on planet Earth. They're not going to fight it. They're going to wait for my kids to fight it.
Bob, you're 45, and you know, but, you know, you've owned guns, you know how to shoot a gun. Why don't you go over there and kill you some Ruskies?
But I think it's more like this. I think it's more like your bumper music's got to, is going to have to be "Kill the Poor" by the Dead Kennedys, in a sense, because that's who's going to fight it. Buttons. It's going to be a couple button pushers, and that's all it's going to take. And I mean, because that's what I mean. This is the magnitude we're talking about here. I mean, you know, I used to sit there and look back at these little videos about a turtle with a thing on his head and a smiling Adam telling you how to duck and cover and all this other crap. And I would sit there and look at the 50s and, you know, and its perceived halcyon days and just kind of like just my jaw would drop and hit the floor. It's like, man, how would you like to live under that kind of crap? But I sit there and I look at it now. The danger is actually more prescient now than it ever has been. And we got this gingly murdering cannibal bastard George Bush in the White House. We don't got anybody who sit there and try to define a word they use. They create up their own words. You know, we don't have Jack Kennedy in there. You know, we don't have this guy in there that, you know, actually understands or lets us know he understands. You know, we got this, you know, I'm telling you right now, I told you this my whole weekend was just like, oh, where the hell did we slip into? Seriously, this is like serious. This isn't no joke. You know, now we're going to be flying our ships into the Georgia to provide quote unquote humanitarian aid. I think everybody should write a letter to the editor. We have always been at war with East Asia. East Asia has always been our enemy.
Asia has been an ally. If only everybody would get it.
I love you, Bob. You're a good man.
I know. I'm also a very wet blanket sometimes, my brother.
My tough man. they would get it. There are a lot of people that would get it. There's a lot of us out here. I mean...
Yeah, but the ones who get it don't need it.
True. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, they might need the...
You don't have to preach nonviolence to nonviolent people.
True. Yeah, this is why... But this is, in a sense, you know, they really cannot get their way on this. You know, I'm telling you right now, you hear somebody on NPR, you see anybody trying to say this crap. So let's not forget who started this, okay? Let's keep this timeline open so people realize this. Because this is the whole moment of, are they torturing the British Marines or giving them sandwiches with hummus and freshly baked pita bread? This is that moment. So we have to sit here and realize that Georgia started this whole action. And you know what? I don't think what Russia, yeah, you call it disproportionate, but hang on, and disproportionate in terms of what? We got hit, 3,000 people killed, and how many have we killed in a totally another country? I mean, so we are the ultimate hypocrites here to even try to pretend that we can say what goes on in Russia's backyard. Look at what we've done to to Central America.
And then, I was about to say, time out. I remember when Ronald Reagan was aching for a Georgian situation. I remember when Ronald Reagan, with a straight face, which proved that some of the acting stuff actually took with him, Ronald Reagan looked at the American people with a straight face, and or was it some member of his administration? I'm sorry, it all runs together for me after a while, Albert. But looked at the American people and said, well, if we don't stop them in El Salvador, they'll be crossing the Texas border any time. They'll be coming across the Rio Grande.
Wolverines.
I mean, isn't there like a whole bunch of Mexico between El Salvador and then Nicaragua and Guatemala? Isn't there a whole bunch of Mexico between that and the Rio Grande? Just checking. But they ached for one of these because they want to exert the same kind of domination and control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just the same old game. It's the same old game. This game keeps going over and over and over again, and, you know, it's, I mean, that's where, that's...
Oh, and here's a couple, yeah, and here's a couple of funsies for you, Albert. I'm reminded by our news ninja, Gene. He says, you know Karl Rove vacationed in the Crimea this past July, don't you, Bob? That's where he was when he was dodging the subpoena. Oh, yeah, Karl Rove is out of the country. He was in the Crimea. That man doesn't show up somewhere that, you know, that doesn't hit the fan. And then this just in from our buddy David in South Carolina. When I switched on my TV to check on the Arkansas tragedy, they had a map up showing the former USSR and expert Condoleezza Rice warning Russia to back off. David says, I quickly turned it back off. I should have known better.
Mm-hmm. I think she sounds, I honestly didn't like the tenor in her voice.
By the way, running conversation in from David in Tennessee. Here we go. If you profit from war, the answer to every question is...
Yep.
War?
Yep. What's...
If you profit from selling nails, the every answer to every question is, you need some nails.
Mm-hmm.
So, that.
It is that. It is certainly that. And it's one of those things that... I think, you know, I've actually been in contact with some people that are not from this area, and they were, I don't know if they could even hold a candle.
And by the way, just running back to the, just to crank up the paranoia index a little bit.
I got my hat on.
The Arkansas gunman, one of the news stories indicates, and this is the language used, that the shooter was chased south for about 25 miles. The terrorist. There's the word. I mean, these people are, y'all, we're home, you know, we got a homeland and everybody, and we got to be careful of the terrorists. Well, let's use this word, because the terrorist was shot, pay attention,
I'm listening,
after he was stopped. You get my meaning.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, suicide by cop.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah. Maybe by him. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe by someone. Maybe someone here. Yeah, maybe there's no gun. Oh, he did get a gunshot wound, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, bud. I'll tell you what.
I know. Hey, Albert, I'm going to roll along here and see if we can create... Didn't have any luck having two people on hold at one time, so we're going to have to do this one phone call at a time tonight, which is going to be a real joy.
Yeah, all right. All right, let me let you go then.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Take care, Albert.
Yeah.
Bye.
You too, buddy. Bye.
And we've run a little bit past the top of the hour. Okay, here's the dealio. Our main phones are screwed up. CityNet is working on it. But we have to remember that the last mile of any service around here is brought to you by the fine folks at Verizon, who could screw up a one-car funeral. All right? So we're using the backup number. And the backup number is 304-574-7810. 304-574-7810. If you're dialing the regular numbers, you're not getting through. The only way to get through tonight is 304-574-7810. You won't necessarily hear the programming on hold. I'm not entirely certain, but I will put you on hold, and then we'll bring you on the program. I should be able to do it two at a time. I mean, not two calls at a time, but I should be able to have two people on hold, one online, one on hold. But, you know, we'll see how that works as we do it on the fly. 304-574-7810. Reverbo, the head-on critic at large. Subject line, MIP, that stands for those of you who have not been listening to, listening lately. MIP stands for Making It Personal. Reverbo says it couldn't be clearer, and it gets clearer every year, every month, every week. The hate is out there. And all they do is make it personal. To them, it is personal. It couldn't be more personal. Losing your job, losing your pension fund, yeah, that's personal. And it's the demon. And because, you know, and I'm going to, okay, Reverbo didn't say this, I'm going to expand on this, because there are Hannitys and O'Reillys and Limbaughs and Bortzes and Savages and Becks and on and on and on and on. Every, just spin the dial. Connell Rand, 580, 620. All of that, because of that, everywhere the dial goes, it lands on somebody telling some poor white schmuck that it's the liberals' fault and the Democrat Party's fault. So just, okay, never mind the editorializing. What Reverbo said is, it couldn't be clearer, and it gets clearer every year, every month, every week. The hate is out there. All they do is make it personal. It couldn't be more personal. Losing your job, losing your pension fund, yeah, that's personal. How about losing your life? You know, what we need, I don't think we all need to go to the gun range and put 1,000 rounds through the old whatever. I think maybe we all need some training on recognizing potential right-wing terrorists. Some profiling. You want a profile for a right-wing terrorist, people? Let's see how they like it. Male. Middle-aged. White. Disaffected. Probably belongs to a fundamentalist church. Keep an eye out for them. If they reach for anything, take them to the ground. Restrain them. Call the authorities. Don't shoot them. You start shooting with them, they win. But learn the warning signs of right-wing murder. Male, middle-aged, white, disaffected, generally low education level, membership in a fundamentalist church, right-wing babblings about Nancy Pelosi or how liberal Barack Obama is, or maybe that he's a Muslim. Listen to this stuff, because these are the people that shoot up churches. These are the people who blow away mommies and daddies. Learn the profile. Be aware. Live in your world. Okay? Don't just sleepwalk. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Don't be afraid, but be alert. Don't be asleep. Be awake. Because when the sleeper has awakened, then you can have real change. Very real change. So it's about 8 minutes past the hour. We'll take a little break. Come back with more of your calls. 304-574-7810. 304-574-7810. You know, Russia? These dumbasses want a war with Russia? And bear in mind, the same people who want the war with Russia are the same people who walk in and shoot up churches or political party offices. They're the same profile. Male, middle-aged, white, disaffected, probably fundamentalist of some stripe or another. It's the same gang. The ones that want war with Russia, or at least who are egging it on, are just about the same, you know, just about the same crowd. Just about the same crowd, with a little bit better, clothing. Yeah, Bill Kristol, I'm reminded by Cossack, Bill Kristol is pushing war with Russia. We can't let Russia get away with this. Yeah. We can't let Russia get away with this. You know, who, as the punchline to the old joke goes,
Who's that we you're talking about, pale face? Because when Bill Kristol says we, he means you. He means you poor teenagers in the barrio. He means you poor teenagers up the holler. He means you poor teenagers down in the southern flatlands. He doesn't mean we as in him or his or anybody near and dear to him. He means we, poor America, doing rich America's dirty damn work. So we'll be back. We'll be back after a little interlude. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. This is Norman and Nancy Blake.
One morning when the office had opened, a man quite old in years stood beside the express office showing signs of grief and fear. When the clerk approached him, his trembling words did say, I'm waiting for my boy, sir, he's coming home today. Well, you have made a sad mistake, and you must surely know that this is a telegraph officer and not a town depot. If your boy is coming home, the clerk with a smile did say, you'll find him with the passengers at the station just over the way. You do not understand me, sir. The old man shook his head. He's not a coming as a passenger, but by express instead. He's coming home to mother, the old man gently said. He's coming home in a casket, sir, he's coming to us dead. Just then a whistle pierced their ears, the express came on time. The old man rose in a breathless haste and quickly rushed outside. And in a long white casket, one lowered to the ground, showing signs of grief and tears that to those who gathered round. Not use him roughly, boys, it contains our darling Jack. He went away as you boys are, see how he's coming back. He broke his poor old mother's heart, her sayings all came true. She said this is the way that he'd come back when he joined the boys in blue.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Song always makes the little hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. Norman and Nancy Blake, the album. Back home in Sulphur Springs. And no, I don't reckon it's train stations anymore. It's flight depots. And the family isn't allowed there to see it. But we've got a few stories of the bodies of the soldiers crammed into cardboard boxes and offloaded with forklifts. You know, that's the Bush administration supporting the troops there. It happened. Yeah, it happened, and it continues to happen, and it'll happen again and again and again. A little reminder of what was mentioned a little bit ago, that News Ninja Gene pointed out, that Karl Rove was in the Crimea. Please remember, Bob, Condi was in the company of the Georgia Prime Minister 30 days ago. There. Over there. Over there. Over there. When Condi goes over there, you'll be scared. I'm trying. Hey, I'm working here. It's all on the fly. This is off the cuff. This is ad lib. I don't have a team of writers, all right? No, please remember, Condi was in the company of the Georgia Prime Minister 30 days ago over there, stressing the support of the U.S. for Georgia. We ginned this up. We made this. We created this. Who in their right mind, who has ever studied, who has ever opened one stinking history book, wants to get it on with Russia? Who? Conventionally, nuclearly, who in their right mind wants to get it on with Russia? Hell, who wants the land? Oh, I'm sorry, there's oil there. Oopsie. You can have your 40 below Moscow winters. I don't want it. But these people, they do. The Crystals and the O'Reillys and, yeah, the Condis and the Georges and the Cheneys. Excellent. They do. They want this bloodshed. They ache for it. They're begging for a war. All these rich old white guys, another email, begging for a new war. Iran, Russia, no matter the target, good for business. Even old Snake Lips Krauthammer is stuttering for it. He can't hardly control himself. He's so excited for it. I seen him flick his split tongue twice last Sunday on live TV. Yeah. Wow. They're in... See, we were talking... I started off the program talking about birth defects. Because, you know, I've got several. Double-jointed, my ankles didn't form right, my knees came in without any cartilage underneath them, and now I find out that my, you know, insides are bass-ackwards. Literally. I'm advised by another email that I'm upside, since I'm upside down and backwards in there, down there, what I need is a full belly tattoo showing the locations of my stuff versus normal people's locations of those essential tubes. Makes sense. Should you people, should you be stunned and dazed in a moment of highway impact, the ER types might want an accurate road map of the important parts, you know, my way. Yeah. So those are birth defects. But they're not defects. They're evolutionary attempts to see what comes next. See, individuals don't evolve. Populations do. But you know what? And it's worth remembering that evolution is not necessarily positive. Maybe the Crystals and the Krauthammers and the Rummies and the Condies, maybe these are evolutionary birth defects too. Maybe we have become such a blight on the planet that natural selection is selecting for the people who will get us off the planet. Maybe. Maybe we're all just headed for that little world that Kurt Vonnegut wrote about in Galapagos. Maybe. Because, you know, these are relatively... I mean, how much richer can Dick Cheney get? Honest to God. How much richer can Dick Cheney get? How much more money does the Bush family actually need? How many more pairs of shoes does Condoleezza Rice lust after? What? These aren't rhetorical questions. Actually, these aren't rhetorical questions. These are eternal questions.
Why are you doing it? How much better can you eat? What can you buy that you can't already afford?
Yeah, that! But no, they're working on their legacy, aren't they? Maybe it's not about the money. Maybe it's about the legacy. You know, because you take an old freak like Ronald Reagan, who didn't do a damn thing to the Soviet Union, but is now credited by Democrats sometimes as, well, the man who brought down the Soviet Union. He's the man who shot Liberty Valance, okay? You've seen the movie. If you haven't, I don't want to spoil it for you, but for those of you who've seen the film, and a brilliant film it is, he's the man who shot Liberty Valance. So maybe it's not about how much more wealth they can accumulate. Maybe it's about their legacy, huh? Their legacy.
Politicians, ugly buildings, and whores all get respectable if they last long enough.
Yeah, precisely. Precisely. Yeah, adding, Cindy wants to add to the profile of a terrorist, scarred knuckles from dragging on ground and walking on same. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned the groups of the 1960s, and it was pointed out to me that most of the time the Black Panthers were returning fire, not originating it. That, in fact, even the math department at the University of Wisconsin, that bombing was thought to be unoccupied when it was bombed. Oh, yeah, we're actually the culture of life, liberals, progressives, even the ones who get so mad as to take up arms over it, because we try not to hurt anybody. Oh, my aching back. On the one hand, you think, you know, yeah, we're the types that bring knives to gunfights. But do we want to bring guns to the gunfights? Or do we want to stop the gunfighters? You know, I remember that damned Ronald Reagan ad once upon a time. Well, my friends, it's morning in America. Nancy, Mommy. Well, okay, the Republicans thought that under Ronald Reagan it was morning in America. Well, after the last couple of weeks and seeing the right-wingers just go absolutely stark raving mad, I got a new metaphor for you. It's high noon in America. And you know what? They're the Frank Millers. Honest to God, they are. And just to remind you again about the telephones, the telephones are messed up. CityNet is doing whatever they can to try to get it going. I pick up. Yeah, I mean, here, let me show you. Let me show you what happens when I pick up the phone on this end. Just so you can enjoy it for yourself. That's the phone. That's all I get for a dial tone. I get a, you know, 1/10 of 1 second dial tone. And it rings, and I pick it up and go, hi, head on, and nothing. So, with the phones being messed up, if you want to get involved in the conversation, and you are, by golly, welcome to do so, we'll go one by one by one by one. 304-574-7810, 304-574-7810. Chime in if you want. You know, there are so many other stories out there, but between the Russia thing and the right wing going bananas, you know, calling for biblically proportional rain on Barack Obama at the convention, wingers who shoot Democrats and then retreat to the headquarters of the Arkansas Baptist Convention, formerly headed by radical fundamentalist cleric Mike Huckstaby. Wingers screaming for war in Russia. Our Johnny on the spot can't get anything past him. For-profit media out there saying things like the Russia-Georgia conflict is good for John McCain. Don't! How is that stupidity good for John McCain? Yeah, just asking. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Is this me?
It's you.
Well, there you go. I didn't even hear a noise on it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to know if you had heard about that. There was a town in Arkansas that was canceled out with martial law.
No.
Well, you might want to look into that. I guess a lot of people are saying, officials are saying it's unconstitutional. I guess it was over a bar fight. And no one can leave the town. I think it's something called Helena or something like that.
Helena, Arkansas?
Yeah, I think so.
No, no.
Well, I would look it up. I mean, no one's picked up the story. I saw it on Dig. You can probably look into it or whatever.
So martial law has been declared?
Yeah, I would be interested to see if it's still on or because I haven't heard anything. I mean, it's almost like, you know what it's like? It's like a Warren Jeffs town now, I bet you. where all of the are bought and paid for, and then just everything's really transparent. Like, you can't leave, sir.
Oh, okay. August 10th, 2008.
Yeah.
Okay. From Alex Jones.
I was looking on the dig.com one, not the.
Okay. Here's one from Raw Story.
All right, good.
Let's see what we get.
Yeah,
24-hour curfew in Helena, Arkansas. Okay, let's try this one, too. Wall Street Journal. That ought to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because...
I think it's obvious why the media didn't pick it up, because it's like they label that like a crap town, a worthless town, or whatever. But to me, I think it's symptomatic of a bigger issue that's going on in this country.
Yeah, I could see that.
I understand why no one covered it, but at the same time, I would want to know, all right, who was the one who authorized it, and did any of the town raise hell over it, and is it still in curfew?
Yeah, a neighborhood West Helena, Arkansas, is on police lockdown all over a $6 or maybe $8 debt.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is cute because we use words like feud, and it's in the Ozarks, you know, hillbillies. The feud started earlier this week when a man recently released from jail refused to pay the money back to a neighbor. A group of men jumped the ex-inmate and fired guns into the air and into homes, mostly after dark. Made some people have to sleep on the floor, afraid of being struck by stray bullets. Thank God we got us a second amendment. The man and his buddies then retaliated, also with guns, turning the already high-crime neighborhood into what residents said sounded for a few nights like a combat zone. So Mayor James Valley, this past Thursday, called for a lockdown of the roughly 10-block neighborhood northwest of City Hall. No loitering, no walking the streets, no hanging out. 18 to 20 police officers carrying M16s, shotguns, and night vision scopes saturated the curfew zone? Maybe that's a code problem. Curfew zone for five and a half hours. Yeah, that was 5.5 hours. Arrested about 8 people, confiscated drugs and loaded weapons.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And I'm proud to be an American.
Just a regular day in the neighborhood.
Because at least my guns are free.
The other thing I wanted to mention was the fact of I am so cynical regarding the whole Cindy McCain and her... Armcast. Holy crap. Do you believe it?
Well, I believe it's a ruse to probably get a nice handful of
a nice handful of Lortabs or Oxycontins or Vicodins, or, you know, and you chew them up for the refreshing burst of flavor. I believe that. She's a junkie.
Or if you want to be extremely cruel, the McCains had a fight, and he pulled her arm just a bit too hard. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying. I get it. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention was I see the Obama campaign came out against Jerome Corsi about 2 months too late, but I guess they don't understand the fact of how framing works. They actually did quote the stuff that he said on Free Republic about infidels and pigs and Hillary Clinton's a pig and we need to eliminate all the Muslims. Oh, he went on a tangent on that board. But apparently they have an ace in their hole, and here's the ace. You ready for it? John Kerry started an anti-smear site. He's the perfect person to do it, Bob. I give him hundreds of thousands of dollars. Just load up the truck and say, this isn't for windsurfing now. This is for anti-smear.
Yeah, it's for anti-smear. I got one of those blast emails, and it just said John Kerry, and I just deleted it.
Do you think Obama's supporters or the Obama campaign workers or people who are investing a lot of time and energy just basically working to the bone are just going absolutely insane the fact that we didn't see Obama out there as soon as McCain was looking? It's all about looking presidential, people. That's all that matters. Was looking presidential after that press conference, and what a doozy that press conference was. I mean,
you used the term looking presidential in the loosest possible way.
Yeah, I mean that's all it is about. I mean, there's a great interview. I'll have to send it to you on the Daily Show, of a guy. He wrote a book on the personality, the celebrity personality in the theater, and what we're dealing in now versus in 1910 or 1920. And he basically hits it home that it doesn't matter how many mistakes this guy makes. Not anymore. He said the gaffes, it doesn't matter. He goes, oh, what matters is how you look to the people. And he goes, and you want to make sure that person is dumber than you or just equal on the same intelligence.
Yeah, you remind me of something, David. Time to time, Bart Kopp will mention the fact that the media just wet itself in years past saying, Ronald Reagan looks so presidential. Why, when he goes to the Oval Office, he's so presidential he won't take his jacket off. That's probably because the old fart didn't realize he was wearing a jacket. He thought it was his sheriff's vest from back in his movie days, which had done become his reality.
I tend to believe that, I seriously believe that all of this that's happening right now, most of it, I would say 70% of it, is the people just need to get more engaged, and they need to realize this is what they're going to take from you. Are you ready? They're going to take this from you and this and that and this. What are you willing to give up? But it seems like so many people have become so inoculated that we're dealing with this symptom. I don't know how much I believe we're going to attack Russia, because part of me wants to say it's theater.
We are not that stupid. This has got to be theater.
I know. If it isn't.
I mean, who do they think they would attack Russia with?
I mean, I'm beginning to think that what has actually happened is this is History of the World Part 2, and they found the lost script, Bob, of Mel Brooks. I know it is.
No, yeah, they found the lost script and they thought it was serious drama, or maybe it was the shot plan to the camera plan to a documentary. That's it, because we know these dumbasses have seen Dr. Strangelove and think it's a documentary.
Or maybe what they did was they were watching Comedy Central one night, and when Comedy Central when they didn't have that much programming, they were saying, and now coming up on Comedy Central is Canadian Bacon. And they kind of reversed it. So, well, they caused a conflict with Canada like that? Georgia, Russia, Georgia? We can make Russia to be the enemy like this. This is how we'll do it. And I don't know if you caught the news on that regarding the cyber attack, but I just can't help remember what the press release for Rumsfeld was 2 years ago. A more impressionable, a more increase of cyber psyops must come into play by.
You know, we all know how my sad, twisted little mind works, David. You mentioned Rumsfeld, which made me think of the Department of Defense, which made me think of DARPA.
Yeah.
Okay. I caught a little article yesterday just because of the way my homepage opens up. You know, the NASA, and I'm a NASA geek, okay? I know that there's lots of liberals and lots of Democrats out there who say, well, you know, we don't need to be fooling around in space because, you know, we need to feed our own millions at home before we... No. I believe in space exploration, manned or unmanned, okay? And I also believe in getting better at it simply because we've got so much crap there. You know, there are some theoreticians who think that people might live 200, 300 years in zero gravity on the moon, or near zero gravity.
Mm.
I'd be up for that. But anyway, so I'm reading this story the other day. NASA had planned its next generation spaceships, the ones that were going to replace the space shuttle, which was never supposed to be flying as long as it is now anyway. And it was called the Space Plane. And it was pretty good design. But a year or so ago, George Bush, just at the stroke of a pen, redefined NASA's mission from working in near-Earth orbit and, you know, things like the space station and the space shuttle and doing stuff floating around. He redefined it to putting a man on Mars. Because that's going to be part of my legacy. We're going to put a man on Mars. And so guess who's pulled the contract and re-upped it and is developing the space plane now?
John Bolton?
No, DARPA.
Ah.
Okay. They're on the verge of a test, or they've had a test or something like that. And so the Air Force is going to run the space plane. And see, where NASA is at least ostensibly civilian and occasionally does some decent humanitarian stuff in space, I don't trust the Air Force with space vehicles. How about you?
I don't trust the... I'm beginning to not trust the Air Force with running machines. It's true. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, how much... This is the problem. I mean, you've seen the footage. You know, maybe we need some 527s to show the airport graveyards that are out there. It's just mile after mile after mile of just ghost machines grounded on the ground. You know, and I don't think a lot of people are really. I don't think a lot of people realize how much is wasted and where it all goes and how it's not used. At least turn it into a museum, for God's sake.
That or, you know, downgrade them a little bit. Take off the fancy hubcaps and sell them to the private sector. You know, personal, you know, your personal Mach 3 jet so you can commute from Los Angeles to New York in 2 hours or whatever. Yeah, why not?
Two last things before I go. I don't know if you have another person on hold or so.
No, that's impossible tonight.
It's impossible. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, the first thing is, I noticed on CNN there was talk about the PSYOPs, Russian cyber attack. Well, I just wanted to make reference to you. There is an actual story of an official who gave a speech, and it was pretty serious about how the next attack is going to be a cyber attack, and it's going to be sometime soon, and it's going to happen in the United States. My spidey senses were tingling because of what's happening in Russia now, that they're going to attempt the same thing in America. So if you could somehow get that story. He had some details on some history regarding cyber attacks and the progression that they made and what a lot of the media isn't telling you. And I found it pretty interesting. I guess he was pretty animated about it, and he wanted to get the word out. So when I saw that thing about Russia, I was like, oh, guys just giving us a warning shot about something.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, I look in my spam catcher.
Yeah.
And a lot of my spam is in Russian now.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else is getting this, but I am getting a lot of spam in typed Cyrillic. I have no idea what they're trying to tell me.
Now, when you were talking about what you think this is about, this power, greed, I think it all comes down to you open all of those doors, and then there's one door left to open, and it's just playing out madness. The Hall of Mirrors within the Hall of Mirrors within the Hall.
Are you
Hall
talking
of
about the red button where they say don't? Is this you know, don't think about the red button? Because the instant you say, is this God in the garden saying, eat everything here but that one over there? See, nobody ever, but the literalists, they miss out so much, and it is prayer meeting night after all.
Yeah.
The literalists miss out on so much nuance when they just take it, well, see, there was this tree, and he said, don't eat the tree. Nobody, but, you know, the fundies, they really do. They miss such a rich opportunity for examining the human condition when they... So, Adam and Eve introduced sin into the world, but God, not the serpent, God introduced temptation. He's the one. You know, they had so much to eat, they probably never would have gotten around to getting near that tree. If they got near the tree, God could have said, no, no, not this one, okay? This one you can't eat from. It wasn't the snake sitting up on the branch gossiping. Because, you know, Eve didn't have anybody to talk to because, you know, Adam was the silent Clint Eastwood type. And so she had to go talk to a snake. No, it was God saying, hey, no, don't eat. No, look at all this stuff. You can have all of it. You can't have that one. God introduced temptation.
I would make it a prerequisite for everyone. Instead of reading the Bible, if I owned a small town, I would just hand out the Jungle Book. There's Shere Khan. There's the snake.
Oh, yeah.
Baloo. The other thing I want to mention.
Bagheera.
Really is,
Bagheera.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is something that everyone can relate to. And plus, the songs are really catchy. Louis Prima. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I want to be like you?
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat it. The messages, then they kind of messed it
and
up.
And, you know, Phil Harris as Baloo the Bear singing the Bear Necessities? Sure.
Disney was so, you know, the genius thing about Disney, and it would make Walt Disney roll in his grave, was the fact how they rehashed the characters. This is what we can do for DuckTales. And Baloo can be in Tailspin. And they just took all the movie characters and made them into 20-minute cartoons. Yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention on a note, because I found it interesting, just a quick headline. The fact that a home on the city's east side was listed for $1 recently shows how depressed the real estate market has become in one of America's poorest big cities, and it still took 19 days to find a buyer. So I think that pretty much says everything. A dollar.
Mercy.
19 days.
Yeah, it does. It speaks volumes. It does.
If you want, I'll send you the story, and you can read the
details.
Yeah,
please do, because I would like to take a look at that.
All right, I'll send it to you right now, Bob. I'm gonna let you get to other callers.
All right, thanks, David. You have a good night.
All right, later.
All right, bye now. Pop culture correspondent David calling from Maine. And for those of you who, and I keep seeing the lights blinky blinky, so maybe you're just. Maybe it's a function of habit, and I haven't announced it enough. The phones are messed up tonight, okay? So if you want to get involved with the program, there's one number and one number only that works tonight and until we get the get everything fixed, and I'll tell you the minute that we do. And that number is 304-574-7810. You know, I'm giving out the phone number more tonight than I have in eons. 304-574-7810, and you can jump right in. And you are more than welcome to do so. Bob, please don't relax and think we won't attack Russia. No soldiers, but we still have a boatload of planes. Boatloads of planes. And bombs! Lots of planes and bombs. Smart ones, big ones, all sorts of sizes. Planes, Bob, planes! Plastics. Yeah, I know. I know. Boatloads of planes. Literally. They think that they can do with Russia what Clinton did with the former Yugoslavia and just bomb the snot out of them. Bomb their water treatment plants, bomb their electrical substations, you know, all those things that are arguably violative of all of our conventions on what constitutes a war crime. But never mind. Because, see, I don't like war. I don't care who wages it. Oh, well, we were saving the Kosovars. All right, I'll give you that. Still kind of makes me wonder why we couldn't save the Hutus and the Tutsis. Wait a minute. I know the answer to that one. It's coming to me. Phew. Yeah, lots of planes and bombs. So there's that. All right, let's go back to the phones and see what we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Is this Gary?
Yeah, man.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much, man. I wasn't going to call in until you started talking about McCain and, you know, what you guys were saying about McCain. And I was just said I got to call in tonight to talk about McCain. I can't hold it.
Well, sometimes it's more than being bare.
I'm trying to hold it in, man.
Yeah, that's not good for you.
And then when I heard about the guy getting shot in Arkansas, I was like, oh, God. I was thinking about you when I first heard about that. I was like, oh, boy. So here we go. But we were just talking about that last week.
Yeah.
So, you know, the sickness, as I like to call it, you know, I haven't been listening to it the last couple of days, but, you know, it really is a sickness, you know, that they, you know, they really, the FCC really needs to get involved and start, you know, really looking at some of these guys, you know, because I've listened to a Hannity interview with the guy who's coming out that book, Abomination or whatever, and the guy was going off talking about Obama would support, I'm pretty sure you heard this, killing babies after they are born.
Yeah, right. As long as
that should be an FCC violation. That is like malice to me. Isn't that malice or something? I mean,
it is reckless. I think it would be defined as reckless disregard for the truth.
Well, they need to find a law for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, don't you love that Obamanation? Isn't that the name of the book?
Yeah.
Don't you love the play on words?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Abomination.
Yeah, they always got a frame. The Antichrist, all other stuff that they're coming up with. You know, Randy Rose had a good little thing about, she said the other day on her show, she said that Obama's Sermon on the Mount and John McCain is Revelation.
Hey, that's nice. That's nice.
That was
yeah.
funny. I just cracked her. She cracks me up sometimes. She has some great, great one-liners. But they ought to hire her. But I don't know, man. This is crazy. And this whole thing with Russia and this whole thing playing out McCain. And I was listening to Charles Krautheimer. That's another part of the sickness. He's a, you know, he is.
Oh, he's a big part of the sickness.
Yeah, he's a big part of the sickness. You know, I think he's kind of, sometimes he does seem to have some sense of reality, unlike some of the other ones. Because he said, I think it was today, I saw a little bit of the sickness on Fox, just kind of scanning channels. He said, McCain got to be very careful with this thing because, you know, American people really aren't behind Iraq. And they look at him as being kind of like a person who started that war, or who, you know, who was for it. And now, you know, the whole thing going on with Iran, and then you got Russia. So he has to be very careful that he doesn't look obviously like a warmonger. I mean, he didn't say warmonger, but he was basically putting it in that frame. And I do think that McCain is heading into that territory, that he may be overstepping his hand a little bit with this.
Well, remember, McCain is a hothead in the first place, Gary.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not screwed down real tight. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who gets something said to him about his thinning hair and turns around and calls his wife the C word. And this guy's going to have his finger on the button? Whew. That gives me the sweats. But, you know, the Johnny-on-the-spot for-profit media, this business about Russia and John McCain. Let's see, Jill Zuckman from the Chicago Tribune, Gary. It's just sort of the perfect thing for him.
the Russia-Georgia thing for McCain. Over in the Washington Post, Jeff Birnbaum. This is McCain's advantage here. Advantage McCain. This is right in his sweet spot in foreign policy, national security. How? What? I mean, what 10 minutes does John McCain have in foreign policy or national security? 10 minutes, it's not there.
Well,
the guy didn't even show up for work in the Senate.
I know, he's been, like, absent, like, what, in Arizona for votes for things for Arizona. It says he's, like, 65% absent on the votes. I mean, you know, he's way more absent than Obama is on his Senate record. So, you know, he can't really go out to Obama on that because he's been absent a lot for whatever reason. I don't know where he is. I mean, at his age, I don't think he should be getting around that much, you know, show up for a vote, you know. Come on.
And the thing is, he's been McCain has been needling at Russia for a while. He was needling Russia back, a month or so, month and a half ago, Gary, when he was declaring that he was mad at Russia because they were withholding something from Czechoslovakia. Never mind the fact that there's no such place as Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, and the media kind of skipped over it.
No, there wasn't any kind of involved. The media did skip over it.
It skipped over. No, they mentioned it, but they didn't follow through. They'll mention it, but see, it's not the follow through. It's like with Obama. They mention stuff, and then you get the follow through, then the secondary analysis, then the third analysis, then the deep dissection. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do with him. With McCain, it's like, you know, maybe it's, you know, I'm not, you know, I have to admit, anytime they're on TV and they're talking something about McCain, I turn it off. Because it's not so much that, you know, I don't want to hear anything. He's a snooze fest. I almost feel like he has no agenda. He has no energy. Why would I even waste any time of my life, precious time that I have, you know, things I have to do, to listen to something about McCain? Because I don't think he's going to change anything. Hillary, Bill Clinton, Obama, other people, Howard Dean, even Bush, I'll pay a little bit more attention to, because I think Bush going to do something. I mean, he may not do the right thing, but at least, you know what I'm saying? But McCain is like, there's just no energy there. You just almost feel like this guy's just dead weight. I mean, he's dead weight visually. He's dead weight politically. I don't see it, man. And media, they realize it. They're not getting the numbers when they start talking about McCain. They're just talking about Obama. You know? The guy is a loser, man. I mean, there's no way he's going to be president of the United States unless there is the major ginning, which they're doing right now, like you said, talking about, hey, you know, this is a major advantage. That's the kind of crap they're pulling now, because they're trying to make this into a horse race. This thing should not even be close, you know.
No, it shouldn't be. But I'm telling you, there is a connection, there is an interconnection between McCain wanting to go and tussle with the Russian bear and crazy people walking in and shooting folks, just ordinary everyday Americans walking in and blowing folks away. They are intensely interrelated. And it's what I said earlier, Gary, I'm not kidding. It is high noon in America.
I said the last time we talked, too. We both agree. I said, this is Judgment Day. This is it, man. This is Judgment Day. This goes beyond just race. This is if the American people are so dumb, they're not going to vote for the better of the two. I'm not going to call it the lesser two evils, because I keep hearing some Democrats or other people saying that. Man, this thing is such a chasm between these two candidates, and it's not like I'm some big Obama fan. Yeah, he has some fallings, but hell, I ain't perfect either. But my point being, between him and McCain,
there's an ocean. Yes.
Exactly. You know, and I think Dave called a few minutes ago, and he was kind of struggling to say what, you know, most white Americans just can't say, man. They can't get over. You know, I can say this. I mean, every black person I talk to, everybody knows. Every Mexican, Hispanic, Jewish person or whatever, they know what it's about when you're talking about he doesn't look presidential. He doesn't look like the stereotypical hot dog white male. That's what when they talk about he doesn't look presidential. Obama looks just as presidential as any person out there until you put it into the framework of middle.
I'm going to have a little moment here, Gary. As a hetero white guy, I got no problem saying that Barack Obama is elegant. He's manly in the extreme. McCain, on the other hand, kind of doughy, kind of pasty, kind of falling apart. You know, Obama Obama's a shiny new sedan, and McCain's a sort of rattly, clunky old station wagon with the hubcaps falling off.
Yeah, but he's trying to tap into that white John Wayne Mill image. That's what he's trying to tap into. That was the thing that Bush was able to carry off. I mean, it's the Marlboro Man. This is like just basic advertising 101. That's what he's trying to tap into. The problem is that, and this is what America, we were talking about Judgment Day, that model or that image of a man, of the ultimate identifier of a man being this very brawn, strong white male, is slowly fading and is broadening out to be any man, just not a white man. It could be any man now. And that's what America is struggling with. People around the world don't have that problem. It's just like the blonde-haired white woman. It's like that's why they threw that ad up with Obama and the blondes, because that's the contrast. The black male, the white, blonde, pretty woman.
My endless desire and ability to relate everything to something literary or movie like. It's Tom Robinson against Mayella Yule, okay? Out of To Kill a Mockingbird. This is some of the oldest hate that this country has in its arsenal.
Exactly, man. This is, and that's what's so funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it's like, it's really sad because we got major issues here. And, you know, I really just kind of say, look, I tell people all the time, look, you know, black people, we talk about it all the time. We say, you know, we don't understand why white people are so mad with us. Not white everybody, you know what I mean, but what I mean is that, what is it that white guys who run around, who are just so pissed off, why aren't more black people pissed off with white folks? I mean, that's what we always sometimes marvel at. Or, you know, same thing with women. And what I always try to tell them, it's not really all white males. I said, what you have is a small segment of white males who are very, very, very angry. Either for whatever reason, like you just did that profile, and Sean Hannity and the Rush Limbaughs, they feed into that. That's who they feed into.
Yeah, oh, they both feed it and pray on it, okay? And you can't help but, okay, this is not my elitist moment, okay? All right, I'm a hillbilly elitist. It is. At the bedrock, I mean, to answer your question, the bedrock of all of this, Gary, is ignorance. And ignorance breeds fear.
It's also hate, though. It's a lot of hate.
Well, and fear fosters hate.
Okay,
ignorance to fear to hate.
Yeah, because those Christians, like you said, I'm a Christian by definition, and those Christians who say they are Christians are not Christians. They are what the Revelation talks about, the people who have been deceived or whatever. We're in the last days. We obviously know that from a biblical, spiritual standpoint. Everybody knows that. And what's happening is that you see that hate has taken over the churches. I mean, it's taken over for centuries, but it's just now it's just being really ratcheted up in this country. And what's happening is that they're using any kind of excuse to explore their hatred. They did the same thing when this damn war started. I went to the protests, I went to the rallies, and I saw tons of people out there, black, white, whatever, protesting against this war. But you also had tons of Americans walking, running around with these damn flags, and I'm saying, look, man, you guys are just angry. Do you realize it was just 11 guys that did this? Why the hell are we going into to fight a whole damn country? I mean,
they didn't have anything to do with it.
Exactly. Blind hate. Just like that guy who got shot.
Well, we got to take it to them before they bring it to us.
They're not thinking, man. Liberals, we got to hate those liberals, those homosexuals. The Democratic guy in Arkansas, he's the enemy. I'm telling you, man, Sean Hannity and those guys really should be taken off the air. I mean, I'm for free speech, but not when you can't.
Well, right, but I'm for free speech, too. But, you know, Malloy asked very cogently back when this news was fresh and before it got ignored to pieces, he asked a very trenchant question, and that is, you know, nobody's saying that they can't say what they say. But why does it have to be done at the connivance of corporate America? You know, if Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and that crowd were out there just doing, you know, doing it on their pretty much on their own hook, nobody'd hear them. All right? They only have the platforms they have because those platforms are provided to them by corporate America.
Well,
and frankly, free speech is not the right to be subsidized by right-wing corporations.
Nothing can be bought or sold without the mark of the beast. That's the whole point of it. It's all about...
Well, yeah, and Gary, you know, I'm sure you're as studied up on this as I am. What does it say? Broad is the way? You know, we talk about the straight and narrow. Straight and narrow, you know, the path you follow to get to God, to get to righteousness, to get to justice. Straight and narrow. Narrow means you can't get a whole bunch of people on it. And you probably can't get a whole bunch of people on it because it's straight and it's narrow, but it doesn't say that it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
However, broad is the path that leads to damnation. And as a how many Southern Baptists are there? All right? How many Pentecostals? How many of these right-wing fundamentalists that will vote for any Republican that they put up on the ballot? Now, you want to talk about a broad path? That sounded pretty doggone broad to me, Gary.
Well, what people don't, a lot of people, what they don't realize when they talk about that, when you're talking about the Pentecostal, what people don't realize is what the Bible, if you really read it right, you realize that, you know, Jesus was talking about his return and coming would become when the church was corrupt, because he came at a point when the church was corrupt. So, and he had to come back, obviously, according to Scripture, to because God's name was being used in vain. Or if you want to take a more abstract level, they were using love, God's pure love, and distorting to a point where God just couldn't take it, and he sent Jesus back, you know, blase, blase, blase. In the last days, supposedly the same thing's going to happen. You're going to have the Pharisees doing the same crap, and that's when God, or, you know, Jesus, or you know, whatever, comes back. Now, what people believe is up to them. I think the Bible is a little bit more abstract and than some people, and some people don't believe in it at all.
But see,
I respect that. But I've seen a lot of stuff in Revelation and mankind being foretold, and it's happening just like it said it's going to happen.
But you see, we talked about that, how ignorance breeds fear and fear breeds hate. What you find in these last times, left behind eschatologists who believe that Jesus is coming back this time with a bandolier of bullets and a machine gun. What you find out of it, people tend, you can tell a lot of people, you can tell a lot about people by the way that they, in the Christian community, by the way they talk about Jesus. All right? The right-wing fundamentalists, don't hardly talk about Jesus at all. You ever notice that, Gary? They don't. They want to talk about Leviticus and thou shalt not put on, a man shalt not put on the raiment of a woman, and a woman shall not, and you know, all the, you know, and a man shall not lie down with a man, for that is an abomination. Well, those aren't the words of Jesus. And then they go over and they talk about all the stuff that that insane tent maker Paul said.
I try to just concentrate on two scriptures, really, and the scriptures are love your God with all your heart and your soul and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said those two are the greatest commandments, and everything else falls under those. He's basically saying if you do those two things, you are in the will of God, and you, you know, will be with God when you die in your end time. That's what I focus on. I don't try to get into focusing on homosexuality and what people are doing and all this other kind of stuff. Even if I may agree or disagree with it, I don't try to get into major arguments. I try to focus on loving my neighbor, because I think if you do that, we all did that, so many other revelations about God or love would be revealed unto us. But the problem is, you know, Jesus said that, you know, you wicked people, you will not see a sign because of the wicked generation. He's basically saying that you don't have love in your heart, so therefore you can't see these visions or these great things that are going to happen. And that's really
right.
Not the problem.
Yeah, and you got Pastor Hagee running around out there telling us, you know, well, you know, the Antichrist is going to be at least part Jewish, and you know, trying to sit. It's like they're playing some sort of theological Yahtzee, if you know what I mean. When in fact, the references to Antichrist
instead of all this, you know, Hollywood omen-esque stuff, the references to that word in the New Testament say antichrists, plural.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So,
that,
you know,
the antichrist is the church, is the false church. That's what the antichrist really is. It is the number of man. It's the false church. That is an endless stream of individuals full of hate and crap. Jesus said there's going to be many false prophets that are going to come in my name. It's not really some singular individual. That's what, you know, people don't really know what the Bible is. They think it is not a singular individual. It's like you just said, it's plural, and it's really talking about the collective whole. Because first of all, if you're talking about through a span of time, and it's the Antichrist, well, you know, if you're talking 800-900 years or whatever, the church and this Antichrist is supposed to span over time, who lives to 800 years? So he really was talking more about the church. You know what I mean? That's kind of where the Antichrist thing goes. A lot of scholars will fight you on that and say, oh, no, you're wrong. But from what I've read and what I understand, that is the Antichrist. Because Jesus even says, you read Revelation, he says, I'm coming back to judge the church. He said, I'm going to judge them first. That is the Antichrist. That's who he didn't mention a name of somebody else that he's coming back to judge. Again, as I say with this caveat, I believe that the Bible is very more abstract. I believe that God is love. So I don't get into whether, you know, I didn't see Jesus, I wasn't there, whatever.
Well, and see, you mentioned how, you know, what he said about the two greatest commandments, love God and love the neighbor as yourself. That was radical for its day, and it remains radical to this day, and it drove the fundies of Jesus' day absolutely crazy, Gary, because love your neighbor? Go look in the Decalogue. Go look in the original top 10 list that God wrote with his finger on the rock. Love your neighbor's not on there. Jesus just made that one up. Mm-hmm. And so they scream, oh, heretic, heretic, heretic. But how are you going to argue with that? He was arguing a radical response. That's why, you know, that's why people from Gandhi to Dr. King picked up on that, because that is transformative philosophy. That is a way to change the world. In fact, it's so transformative that there is a book out there, and I don't have it on the tip of my tongue right now, but there's a book out there that was written by a guy, and he was well received and spoken highly of by Cheney and Rumsfeld and that hateful crowd. He argued that Judeo-Christian ethics should be dumped in matters of foreign policy, and that we should follow what he defined as a more pagan approach to warfare. Because all that love your neighbor stuff really gets in the way. Because you know what? If this is a world following the teachings of Yeshua, this is a world that cannot have war in it. This is a world that cannot have hungry in it. This is a world that cannot have sick or homeless people in it. This is a world that can't have the poor in it, because you remedy all of that. That's the radicalism of Jesus Christ. And that's what Gandhi and Dr. King and others were picking up on.
Yeah, I think what happens, though, for a lot of people who are very critical of Christianity or you know, some of the things that, you know, that happens with Christianity, is that they tend to forget that hate and darkness is what rules this world. So when you come in and say, well, you know, somebody's a Christian or a person, you know, they can't see it. They're like, no, I don't believe in this part. But I think really, if people sit back and really look at the Bible and read it from a more of a pure love standpoint, you know, you can argue about Paul, you can argue about this other stuff, but if you just really focus on just love and focused on that, because, and just said, okay, let me look at everything from a love point of view and just focus on those two scriptures and say, hey, I'm going to try to work with everybody I have as my friend. And then look out here and say, you know what, there's enough resources out here so we all can be wealthy, be independent, and live our lives without continual warfare and stealing of resources. Most people don't realize that wealth in its essence, capitalism in its essence, is a linear system. It's not a circular system like the earth and everything else. It's all about growth. Growth is not like the seasons. I mean, even the seasons, even if you look at the trees, they can seed for a while. They don't just keep growing, you know, in the winter, right?
No. That's why it says to everything a season.
There you go. Exactly. So we're actually, as people, we're actually out of, we're totally out of sync with nature. Again, you can take I don't like to take the God situation out because I know everything was created through that. But I would say even if you just took all of that out, look around you, look at the way the sun revolves, look at the way the earth revolves. Everything works in a circular fashion. But capitalism in our system works in a linear fashion, and it's destroying everything.
And it's not only linear, it is downscale linear, if I'm using the right lingo, Gary, because it is not progressively improving. It's actually deleterious.
Getting worse, yeah. It's getting worse, and that's why I'm saying about Revelation. That's what I'm saying. If you go back and read it really closely, it's really showing you that man is on this linear thing. You look at the Garden of Eden. You can start with the story again. Adam, the story, Garden of Eden is a very abstract story. There wasn't no tree or whatever, life or whatever. It's an abstract story. It's an old tale, really. From even Africans had it written years, hundreds of years before the actual Bible was written.
The Hebrews lifted it off of either and or the Egyptians, African people, or they lifted it off of the people in the land between the rivers.
Yeah, but I'm saying that I don't think that makes it any less fault from a divine standpoint, because I have a very kind of, like, I don't want to say radical philosophy about the origin of the earth. Maybe I'll talk about that some later time, but and everything. But the thing is that if you really read those stories, it makes really good sense, because man has been for the last, I don't know, you know, just we're just on a linear fashion. We're totally out of sync with the earth. Every other animal on earth is in sync with the earth. Man is the one who's destroying earth. You can't find another animal on earth, Bob, or anything that's destroying the earth besides man. You just can't. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? You know, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know how we got here from McCain, but
Antichrist? No, sorry.
Well, I think we got McCain because of Revelation, and McCain is
and Revelation can also be read literally for what it was, and that was a complaint, an indictment, if you will, of Roman civilization and the excesses of Nero.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, St. John the so-called divine was not the only one who was concerned about the excesses of the Roman emperorate, whether it was Nero or Caligula or, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, you can say that he makes a pretty solid prediction. I don't think you have to be a prophet to do it, but he makes a pretty solid prediction about where the Roman Empire was headed. And in many ways, he proved to be correct. And, you know, the letters to the churches in Asia, he was obviously conversant of where and who those churches were. He knew what their shortcomings were. And, of course, the Paul of Tarsus had been exposing those shortcomings with his complaints via his correspondence considerably before that, I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like any good mythology, any good cultural self-definition, there's a lot of truth to be drawn from it, but you have to work at it. And if you take it literally, you lose it.
Well, I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that's going on. I mean, you got religion, you know, people, you know, in our country, you look at our country, it's a lot going on with religion. It's not really just race, it's class. People not understanding how the rich are taking over, you know, bankruptcy bills and all the kind of crap they've rigged up to, you know, charge people all kind of crazy interest rates. I mean, this really is a judgment day, because McCain is clear to me. McCain is very clear to me. He's a stooge. He's a guy who's going to get in office. He's going to play half president, and he's just going to sign crap that's going to give away to these corporations. Same people who came up with these brilliant ideas about, you know, the banking industry and all this other crap they went into, they're just going to go for what they know, and what the only thing they know is greed. And I'm telling you, man, these corporations may think that they can do what they do to survive, but they're not looking, Bob, at the whole situation of the country and saying, hey, what can we do to keep this nation built. They're not thinking about that, man. The only thing they're thinking about is taking a model that they built here and sending it over to China and India because they see, well, they got 1 billion more people. It's just basic math.
You know, the tobacco companies are a beautiful example of that.
Yeah.
RJR Nabisco and what are they now? Altria, used to be Philip Morris. Where are their most humongous profit centers and their biggest emerging markets? Among the benighted poor and the poorly educated in the third world. That's where their hot sales are.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're not getting poorer, they're getting richer.
Yeah, and they want us to, basically, we're funding it. I mean, basically, hey, you know, fund us to go overseas. I mean, Americans are so stupid, it's just like the oil drill. Oh, yeah, we want the land from America, but we can still sell it on the world market. It ain't gonna be, we don't have to sell it to you. You know, so it's like, I mean, it really is. The American people are just...
Right, we drill offshore, we ain't getting that oil.
But let us drill offshore because, you know, gas is so high today, and, you know, maybe tomorrow it'll go down. Hello? No, it'll take 10 years for them just to get the damn thing built out there on the sea to get it, you know, to drill through there. Then it takes another 3 or 4 years for them making mistakes and hitting the wrong spots. It's 15 years out before you even see anything. But the American people are just so damn dumb. God, they're dumb. It's amazing.
You elitist.
No, and I was just, you know, just right quick and I'll let you go. McCain, you know, probably just, I don't know if you heard this quote, he just made a quote today that says, in the 21st century, nations don't invade other nations.
Oh, I know that. I've got the actual audio of it here, and first time I heard it earlier today, I just sort of beat my head against the desk. In the 21st century, my friends, nations don't invade other nations, my friends.
I wonder how Obama should attack that, because could you play that on him some kind of way? Well, we invade Iraq. I know he can't really do it. I'm just wondering how could he.
Why can't he?
Well, because...
Iraq wasn't a nation?
No. Because, again, Obama is working against the worst card in the world. He got a dumb electorate, Bob. You know, I was listening to, you know, what's his name, Dave, I think, called earlier, and he was going on, you know, I'm kind of getting tired of not Dave, but other, there's some other liberals who I've been listening to on these radio shows, and they're going, oh, you know, we got to be tough, and we got to come out hardcore, and all this other kind of stuff. And I said, you know, I have a different point of view. If the American people are so dumb, to me, I don't think Obama has to run one more ad, do one more campaign event. He should still win. I mean, this thing to me, like we said earlier, is so clear cut that at some point we can't keep playing to the dumbness of Americans. Somehow the American people got to show that they are smarter. Or if not, this nation is done with. I mean, you can't expect a politician to take on the burdens of and the mindless behaviors of, what, 50, 60 million Americans. I mean, they got to wisen up, Bob. And I'm getting tired of hearing people say, you know, the Democrats, they should do this and we should do that. No, the problem is we have 50 to 60 million Americans who are just effing stupid. That's the problem. That's just the problem. And we just should try to figure out some kind of way either to educate them or just write them off, whatever.
Well, as long as they got the vote, we can't write them off.
We can't write them off, so what do we do?
Now, a segment of them we can. I mean, the people who believe that there was actually an apple tree in the garden and that Jonah got swallowed by a big fish, those people you kind of got to write off. Because you're not gonna go anywhere with them. Because they, you know, they'll... And again, this has to do with how one uses one's brain. And those people don't use their brain because they don't use the thinking side of their brain. They don't use the intellectual capacities of their mind. They use the believing function of, for want of a better term, their heart. They want to believe. And again, you know, we've touched on it. At the heart of all the resistance to evolution is an inherent racism. There's no getting around it.
Yeah.
Because it's all wrapped in hate. Sure it is. And the hate is born of ignorance. So, you know, you start with the kids. You know, you got some hope there. And then that's why I just, I come close to falling on my knees and praying that young people get out and vote, because if young people sit passively by in November and don't vote, then they are as much to blame for screwing their world up, their future up, as anybody my age or older.
Well, you know, the thing is that with this whole thing is that the bottom line really is we really don't have to too much. You know, I keep hearing people saying that, you know, oh, why isn't Obama further ahead in the polls? I guess he's up like 6-7 points now. And I keep saying to people, man, I'm so surprised he's even up with this many dumb racist people in this country.
It's okay. You can say cracker.
No, I don't do that.
But I do. I do, okay, because that's who we're talking about.
Okay, that's what we're talking about. But my point being is that I am hopeful the fact that he is up. Who would have said he'd have been up? So I just find it interesting that now everybody's like running around, well, he should be about 20, 30 points. I'm like, no, he's right where he should be, if anything. He's right where he should be. Yeah. We have that many dumb people in this country. And people don't want it. People keep acting like Americans are smart. I'm tired of people talking about Americans are so smart and they're so this and that. We're so resilient and all this other stuff.
We're not even sharp enough to demand as good a living for. I mean, we're talking about working people here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Working people in America, for the most part, aren't even sharp enough to withhold their labor until they get treated as well as the rest of the first world's working people do.
Yeah, France, they'll do it in a minute.
You darn right they will. And the funny thing is, if the bus workers in France go on strike, the air transport workers go on strike, then the rail workers go on strike, then the teachers go on strike, then the truck drivers go on strike, and the next thing you know, you got the judges on strike.
Yeah, and then you have.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know, and when you look at Cuba and all these other places, people say, well, you know, go to Cuba and whatever, and they got the highest ranking of people who are happiest in the world, and Denmark and this other thing. But the people who are the economists, the media mongols, the corporatists, they're like, oh, God, these countries are just so terrible. They're so dirt poor. But it really comes down, when you really listen to the argument, it's because they can't exploit those people. That's what it's all about. If they can't exploit you, then your society is like third world. You know, if they can't exploit you, you're third world. So it's like, you know, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. So, Bob, I don't want to hold you, man. I know you got a bunch of other people probably backed up on.
No, not tonight. I ain't got nobody backed up. It don't work like that till CityNet gets stuff fixed, and I'll be on the phone with them as soon as I'm done with the show. But thanks a million, Gary. It's always good to hear from you.
All right, man. Keep your faith.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
So, wow. I mean, we were all over the board on that one. It's it's a beautiful thing to watch conversation take place between liberals, between progressives, between decent human beings. And this is why the right-wing model of talk radio cannot work among liberals and progressives. We have to process. We are thinking people. We can't just be told that Obama gonna eat your Bible and swallow it whole like the right wing does. I wouldn't get on here and behind this microphone and just make some blanket statement about John McCain and expect you to swallow it whole. We can discuss why this man is toxic, is absolute unmitigated poison for this country. For God's sakes, you know, Gary mentioned this. Listen to this. It's breathtaking.
I don't think we're going to reignite the Cold War here with Russia. I think this is a very serious situation, but I don't see this as a return to nuclear standoffs, et cetera, et cetera. I want to have a dialogue with the Russians. I want them to get out.
Time out. TV timeout. What the hell ever? He doesn't want to reignite the Cold War with the Russians? Isn't that exactly what George Bush has been needling Russia with, the stupid little missile defense system that can't shoot, that can only shoot in dry weather?
I mean, isn't there a lot of bad feelings about the fact that we want to put the missile defense system in Poland to protect the world against Iranian nuclear arms that the Iranians don't have and nobody's fallen for it? But those morons that Gary was talking about. Okay, but back to old 894.
Out of Georgian territory as quickly as possible, and I am interested in good relations between the United States and Russia. But in the 21st century, nations don't invade other nations.
That was my microphone and my head. When does this dumbass think that we invaded Iraq? I mean, just asking. In the 21st century, and the likely McCain voters, that's right, John. You tell them, you straight talker, you. In the 21st century, nations don't invade other nations. Woo! I mean, where is my straw? And I want one of them fun swirly straws when I put it in the bottle of brown liquor for this one. In the 21st century, nations don't invade other nations. Right, yeah, and in Star Trek world, disease has been conquered. And you, in Star Trek world, in the 25th century, John, you could probably have a whole new face instead of that sad, cancerous, cankerous, cratered up thing you got on your head right now. But those are both reflections of science fiction. In the 21st century, nations don't invade other nations. Tell that to the million Iraqi dead, John. Tell that to the retroactively aborted 4,000-plus American servicemen and women, old 894, you. Because that did kind of happen in 2003, didn't it? And 2003 was, in fact, a part of the 21st century, wasn't it? Lord, I don't know if you can properly satirize that. I honest to God don't. Now you gotta love that. Speaking of old 894 though, you can't just the cruise right by something like this. You know, in the mid 1990s, old 894 fought against something called education rate, otherwise known as E-rate. It was legislation for a program designed to provide discounts to schools and libraries so they could connect to the internets. Fought against it tooth and toenail. But when it passed, after it passed, and when he was running for president in 2000, McCain took credit for it. Where was everybody saying, after he took credit for it, that John McCain invented the internets for libraries and schools? Hear the crickets. Back in 1998 and 1999, old 894 wrote no less than 15 letters to the Federal Communications Commission. Why? Well, he wanted the Federal Communications Commission to take some action that would be beneficial for his clients. I mean, campaign donors. I mean, constituents. He lobbied real hard for one particular merger that served to benefit his campaign manager's Rick Davis's own client, Reed Hunt. Is a former chairman of the Federal Communications Commission. And he said basically John is a technological troglodyte and proud of it. Which makes this so doggone funny. This being a little video that I got from our pal Cindy over the weekend. A video from the YouTube
titled Convention Names Google Official Innovation Provider. Ooh, fun. Starts out and it's got a Google map on it and everything, the Google. Got a little 80s soundtrack going on. Got some animation in Minneapolis. Now there's some animation of some little animated Republicans. Man, I'm loving that music. That sounds like John Cafferty and the Beaver Blasters or something.
Hello, YouTubers and GOP Convention 2008.
Oh, my God, it's Maria Sino, President and CEO of 2008 GOP Convention. Wearing what appears to be a sweater handed down to her from her great-grandfather, the U-boat commander or something.
.com visitors. I'm Maria Sino, the president and CEO of the 2008 Republican National Convention.
Okay, so she's up on a great big, she's in this animated convention hall with all these faceless little Republicans who appear to all be white. And she's on the animated Jumbotron, okay? I know, talking about video, dancing about architecture, you get it. But you gotta hear what she's about to say about the technological leaps and advances that the GOP done made for its big old conclave or clavern meeting or whatever they call that thing.
I've got some good news. With the exception of the temperature, things are really...
Ha ha, she done made a weather joke, Eunice. Them some funny... That's why I'm a Republican, because we're fun people.
Heating up here in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
I hear the action's getting really hot in the restroom there at the airport. Never mind.
We plan the 2008 Republican National Convention. What's cooking, you ask? Well, what about this? Today, I'm pleased to announce Google will serve as our official innovation provider for the convention.
Okay, we're there. But here comes the punchline.
This is a very exciting development.
Gosh, it is.
It is another huge step in making our convention the most high-tech savvy in history. Everyone knows Google.
Okay, we got to back up for this. This is too good. Promise not to interrupt this time.
Another huge step in making our convention the most high-tech savvy in history. Everyone knows Google, knows how to Google, and knows that Google has revolutionized the Internet.
Everybody except your nominee there, Maria! Everybody except Mr. In the 21st Century, Countries Don't Invade Other Countries, Maria. Your boy, old 894, he still thinks the Google is one. My friends, was that the brand of bubblegum I loved to chew as a young whippersnapper back in the day, as the young Neato Hepcats like to say today? Yeah, that was one of them licorice rope twist candies I really enjoyed when my family was crossing the country in a covered wagon. And she says it with a straight face. The mark of high comedy.
Another huge step in making our convention the most high-tech savvy in history. Everyone knows Google, knows how to Google, and knows that Google has revolutionized the Internet.
Oh, God, if you asked old 894 about the Google. My friends, have we ever lobbied for them? Do I have any lobbyists? If they've got a lobby. You can't pay to have this kind of comedy written for you. You want to get involved in the conversation? You are more than welcome to do so. Based on something that was mentioned earlier. A little something-something right now just to sort of give us a musical interlude. A little something just to call it it's a reset. How's that? It's a reset. This is The Horn, America's liberal voice.
necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities or Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found off my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Now when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, and you prick a raw paw, well, next time, beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big paw paw. Have I given you a clue? The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Just try and relax. Yeah. Cool it. Fall apart in my backyard. Because let me tell you something, little wretches. If you act like that bee acts, you're working too hard. And don't spend your time looking around for something you want that can't be found. When you find out you can live without it and go along not thinking about it, I'll tell you something true. The bare necessities of life will come to you.
I'm loving it. You loving it?
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Sing it.
Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean it. Bare necessities,
okay.
That's why
backwards
I'm bare with just the bare necessities of life. Yeah, with just the bare necessities of life.
Oh, I'm a sucker for a Phil Harris tune. I am. And, you know, that's back in the day before Disney was quite so hateful as it is. And there was, some, you know, there's some pretty decent philosophy in that tune, isn't there? Well, okay, coffee break's over. Back on your heads. It wouldn't be prayer meeting if we didn't have an action alert from Brother Donald Wildman down to the Merck and Family Association, now would it? No. Yep, dear Bob. McDonald's has done it again. First, the company paid $20,000 to become a member of the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce and to have a seat, he said seat, on the board of directors. Next, McDonald's refused a request to remain neutral in the culture war by choosing to promote the gay agenda. Yeah, one of these days they're going to use culture war on a day when a Democrat has been shot down one time too many! And God's just going to and call old brother Donald home. Of course, you know, Donald's got a kid who's actually running the operation, so I imagine he's praying for old Donald to be called home, too, so he can have that all that 501c3 principle, because remember, by the way, now, who the hell does the American Family Association think it is to be telling people to remain neutral in the culture war in the first place? They weren't remaining neutral when they gave $500,000 that could have been used to help people right in their own backyard recover from Hurricane Katrina, which still hasn't happened, by the way. No. They sent that $500,000 all the way to California to keep the homos from being able to keep a getting married. Because after all, marriage is a sacred institution instituted by God, for one man and one woman. And the man gets the woman in exchange for any number of sheep and camels and goats or perhaps some bullocks. And, of course, he can have two or three other wives if he wants to, not to mention concubines. Love that word, concubine. It just sounds fun to have one, don't it? Yeah, it does. So then McDonald's accused those opposing the gay agenda, including same-sex marriage, of being motivated by hate. Well, when you got $500,000 and you won't send it to the people who really, really need it, who are less than 300 miles from you, Brother Donald, and you send it half a continent away to squabble over a bunch of legal stuff to keep people down, you know what? You kind of are motivated by hate, Brother Wildman. Well, it gets worse, Bob. It gets worse. Now we learn that McDonald's sponsors training for homosexuals on how to promote their agenda among corporations from the inside. Like a worm in an apple. Like a worm in an apple, Brother Bob. Out and Equal Workplace Advocates. Out and Equal Workplace Advocates is a national organization devoted to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community in the workplace. One of its primary purposes is to train employees. See how they do? They train people. I've heard about this train business. Train employees how to aggressively promote homosexuality within the company they work for. All the way to the corporate bedroom. I mean boardroom. Yep. Part of last year's Out and Equal Summit in Washington, D.C., sponsored by McDonald's, was an organized march into congressional offices demanding same-sex marriage laws be passed. Yep. An organized march. If you wish to see photos of their organized march, they are here. Beware, there are nude penises involved in the photography. Oh, wait a minute, that was our photograph of the gay pride parade in San Francisco. Never mind. But then some photos, ain't they? At the bottom of McDonald's, at the bottom of McDonald's half-page ad in the Out and Equal Summit booklet is this here statement. From neighborhood to neighborhood, coast to coast, and around the world, McDonald's is proud to celebrate diversity, homosexuality. Yeah. Thank you for caring enough to get involved. If you feel our efforts are worthy of support, would you consider making a small tax-deductible contribution to help us continue?
See, that's the beauty of it. You know, some of this is visual. The quote at the bottom of McDonald's half-page ad in the Out and Equal Summit booklet is this statement. The quote is, from neighborhood to neighborhood, coast to coast, and around the world, McDonald's is proud to celebrate diversity. Close quotes. The dirty lying freaks at the American Family Association have to add that parenthetically, homosexuality. Because, see, diversity means homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't mean tolerating. Because, see, these are also a bunch of racist jackasses, too, okay? Just so you'll know. But if they can redefine diversity as just hating the homosexuals, they can go on quietly hating everybody else they hate at the same time. And, that's what that means, that diversity. It doesn't mean not being a racist. No. It doesn't mean not being a misogynist. No. It means not supporting the homosexual agenda. Praise Jesus. Glory. Donate with confidence to the American Family Association. They've done it again. No, I really am kind of sick and tired of these sad freaks using the word war to describe their efforts to deny constitutional rights to an entire segment of the population, when in fact there is a war going on out there. And it's people just like members of the American Family Association who are doing the warring. Middle-aged, ignorant, middle-aged, disaffected, hate-filled, white male. Yeah. Bigots. Yeah. I'm easily confused, and I got a headline here from an email from our friends over at Truth Out. I spend a lot of time at Truth Out. And the headline says, and, you know, it's not entirely Truth Out's fault. Bush sends Army Navy rice to Georgia on aid mission. Now, you see, this could mean any number of things. It could be a goodwill tour by the respective athletic squads of the Military Academy, the Naval Academy, and Rice University. Yeah. Bush sends Army-Navy rice to Georgia on aid mission. Could also mean that the Army and the Navy are transporting rice to feed starving people in Georgia who have been, you know, part of the victimization that is the effect of war on the civilian population. Could be that, but it ain't that. Nope. He said a transport plane was already on its way to Georgia, carrying medical supplies and a contingent of Army and Navy forces to carry out an aid mission. We're going to help you kill some of them Russians. That's what we're going to do. And, yeah, this aid mission also involves sending Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice to make peace. Or not. See, this isn't over. With the fragile truce in Georgia on the brink of collapse Wednesday, let it collapse. Please, Jesus, let it, my friend Jesus, please let the truce collapse so that I can look presidential and talk about my advantage McCain on foreign policy and national security. Please, my friend Jesus. In the western part of Georgia, Russians sank four military ships at the Black Sea port of Poti on Wednesday. Meanwhile, investigators began to look into allegations of atrocities committed in the separatist enclave of South Ossetia, where the war erupted on August 8th. Human Rights Watch reported that researchers witnessed terrifying scenes of destruction in four deserted ethnic Georgian villages and said the villages had been looted and burned by South Ossetian militias. Anna Neistat, one of the researchers, said by this is from New York Times reportage, said by telephone from Come on, guys, buy a vowel. Skinvali, Bali, Skinvali, the capital of South Ossetia, that they had found no evidence so far to substantiate Russian claims of widespread brutality by Georgian troops. Human Rights Watch has confirmed fewer than 100 deaths, a far cry from what Moscow has cited, namely 2,000. Ms. Neustadt said, if the Russian government continues to claim that 2,000 people were killed as the result of the conflict, it's time to provide some evidence. It's time to provide some data, name, age, gender, the circumstances of death. Oh, it goes on and on and on. Yeah, but everything's going to be all right. Because kind of sleazy Rice is going to put on her negotiating Ferragamo shoes. And she's going to go over there and she's going to tell Vladimir Putin what's what. Mercy, mercy sakes. What a tired old world. By the way, you want to know why we do war better than we do peace? From a New York Times article by Nicholas Kristof, some statistics. The United States has more musicians in its military bands than it has diplomats in the State Department. That's a little bit of tough grammar there, because it just says the United States has more musicians in its military bands than it has diplomats. And I frankly wouldn't expect a lot of diplomats in the military bands, frankly, but I get the idea. This year alone, the United States Army will add about 7,000 soldiers to its total. That's more people than the entire American Foreign Service. More than 1,000 American diplomatic positions are vacant because the Foreign Service is so short-staffed, but a myopic Congress is refusing to finance even modest new hiring. Some 1,100 could be hired for the cost of a single C-17 military cargo plane. Okay, Nicholas Kristof, I'm down with you there, brother, but we know how the Bush administration does its hiring. And we don't need to hire any more graduates of the back of the matchbook Draw Spunky School of Diplomacy as run by Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell's heirs, okay? Goes on and on and on. He says, after all, you can't bomb global warming. The United States is hugely overinvesting in military tools and underinvesting in diplomatic tools. The result is a lopsided foreign policy that antagonizes the rest of the world and is ineffective in tackling many modern problems. You know, maybe if Nicholas Kristof's colleague over there at the New York Times, Ms. Maureen Dowd, had written about some of this stuff instead of writing column after column after column after column in 1999 and 2000 about the Hillary picking China patterns and how Al Gore invented the internet and said that Love Story was about him and Tipper, if she'd written about some of the people that we thought George Bush might bring along and what might happen to the damn government when he did, we might not be in this mess. Oops, sorry. Losing it again. I think I'll stop now. It does not appear that we will have a live Strictly Confidential this evening, so we will have a rerun of Peter's fabulous 18th of April program. And just a moment here before I end for the evening. Thank you, by the way, all the phone calls. Thank you for putting up with our technological nightmares. Hopefully we'll have regular phonage back by tomorrow. August is looking very, very, very grim. All right? Just is. July wasn't that great. It was better, but not great. And I don't think we've ever reached the $2,000 goal. Except maybe early, early on. We're hanging on here. I'm here every night that I can possibly be. Because I want to be. Because you guys are as good for me as maybe any good you get out of me. John Fox wants to keep doing what John Fox is doing. Peter wants to keep doing what Peter's doing. Mark Levine will come back from vacation and do what he does so well. Guy James, well, there are no sufficient words to use describing Guy James. He raises his own funds, so... he needs your help, too. But where the horn is concerned and where the bills we have to pay are concerned, it's grim. And so we'll soldier on into September. But Lord, if it stays like this, my will and my desire count for nothing, because we can't write checks on my will and my desire. They don't cash. If you have never contributed to the Horn, I would encourage you, if this matters to you, to please do so. We have a link, a PayPal link, over at headonradionetwork.com. It's easy, easy, easy. For those of you who don't do or like PayPal, we have a snail mail address. Head on, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, Beckley. Don't screw it up, Bob. Head on, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB. Paul, Mary, Betty, 318, Beckley, West Virginia, Beckley, WV, 25801. If you are one of the ones who is keeping us going so far, please know that none of you are ever very far at all from our thoughts, and we cherish and we treasure what you helped to make and you helped to keep going. If you have never contributed to the Horn, however, there's never been a better time than right now. Thanks to everyone who makes the Horn go, from you, our contributors, to you, our callers, emailers, correspondents, chatters in the headonradionetwork.com chat room. I love hearing from all of you. I love being part of your thought process and part of your world. We all do here at the Horn. Thank you to our moderators in the chat room. Thank you to video compiler extraordinaire, ELO. Thank you to News Ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to Texas Betsy, our blogger. Thank you to folks like Rick Goodner, who brings you a show every weekend. Thank you to Billy Shears. Thank you to Rick Smith. If you've never heard any of the weekend shows, why not? You really must try. They roll all weekend long. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Go to crmw.net and become a part of the solution. More importantly, perhaps, go to coalriverwind.org and sign the petition by which we hope to save one of the last great mountains in southern West Virginia, Coal River Mountain, and turn it into a piece of the future that can happen right now in terms of a wind farm. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.